You're listening to the Live Free Now Show with John Bush, bringing you the news, views, tips, and tools you can use to live a free and prosperous life. Find us online at livefreenow.show. Subscribe to the podcast feed for the latest episodes. And now your host, John Bush.
Hey friends, John Bush here. I'm streaming live on my personal Facebook page and also to the Conscious Resistance. I'll be putting this on their YouTube channel. I want to thank everybody for checking this video out. Today I want to talk about the opportunity that this COVID-19 crisis presents us for a reformatting of sorts, a reset, an opportunity to reflect on the way things are and things that we can change. And I think it's super important. Rahm Emanuel, for those conspiracy researchers out there, back in the day said, never let a good crisis go to waste. I wonder what he was talking about. It might have been the financial crisis of 2008. So this is an opportunity for everyone to take stock of how you've been living your life and also how we collectively have been living our lives. And hopefully we can learn from the past and create new systems, new habits, new opportunities, and create leave a better world for future generations, our children, children's children, and maybe if we work hard enough and manifest enough beautiful things, we can have a better life on our own. So I know there's a lot of scary stuff going on. People are dying. People are catching this crazy coronavirus. But I just want everyone to remain positive and hopeful. And we're all very powerful, infinitely powerful human beings. And yes, the powers that be, the establishment, the big pharmaceutical companies, the government, those that when you create a totalitarian central government, are not central government, global government, I should say, are definitely taking advantage of this crisis. We can take advantage of this crisis and use it as an opportunity for big change too. Real quick before I move on, I want to offer people, we have a hand sanitizer. These are really hard to get. We made up a 95% alcohol hand sanitizer mixed with some colloidal silver and some peppermint oil. These can be found at bravehealthstore.com. bravehealthstore.com. You save 20% if you get three. Just want to throw that out there. It's an opportunity. Created Brave Health Store as a response to all the crazy going on. Some supplies, some immune boosting supplements are there as well. So check out bravehealthstore.com where you can get Avenger hand sanitizer with alcohol and colloidal silver. They're one of our sponsors and my company. All right, so the first way that I hope this coronavirus puts things into perspective for people and is a big wake-up call is through our own personal health. Many people are aware that those who are most susceptible are the elderly, specifically the elderly with compromised immune systems or pre-existing conditions. And it's not just folks that are older, over 70, the mortality rate dramatically increases, but it's also younger people, adults, all generations that have immunocompromised systems. And so while there are things that happen just by chance, more often than not, there's a lot of things that happen in people's lives, health disease, for example, that are preventable through lifestyle changes. And in this country especially, there's crazy amounts of obesity. There's so much fast food. There's so many toxins in the food and the water. The food that doesn't have chemicals and poison in it is called conventional food. Really, the organic food should be the conventional food. So a lot of people's lifestyles are not helping. Smoking cigarettes, for example, drinking alcohol all the time, being stressed out to the max. These lifestyle habits are not helping people when it comes to crazy pandemics taking place, or even if there's not a pandemic taking place. Your quality of life, the number of years that you're going to live, the impact you can have on this earth is greatly minimized if you make unhealthy lifestyle choices. And I already mentioned a few, changing our diet. So I'm hoping that this coronavirus is an opportunity for people to be like, whoa, I'm feeling a little anxious about my chances if I get the coronavirus because I have this issue with my health. I had this take place last year. I had to get this surgery or this treatment. And a lot of that stuff, maybe the MDs don't always tell you this, but in the natural world, literally you are what you eat. There's so much stuff that's preventable. So starting with diet alone, eating more fresh leafy greens, more fruit, avoiding processed foods, avoiding fast food altogether. For people that are looking to make lifestyle changes, one of the easiest things you can do is just stop eating fast food. You can cut down dramatically on your sugar. There's all this controversy about gluten and stuff. I'm gluten-free. I'm not gluten like celiac, but I would say that I'm gluten intolerant. My face gets a little red here. I start to feel inflamed and kind of stuffy and feel a little more bogged down. I don't eat a whole lot of gluten. Occasionally I'll have fried food, which is another one that we should avoid. But I have a feeling that because of the way the grains are produced in mass and because of this gluten intolerance that causes inflammation often, so do grains in general. It could cause problems for more people, not just me. And the test is, like, if you do a paleo diet, a reset diet, where you cut all this stuff out of your diet, like sugar, wheat, dairy, and then you add it back, you might be able to see differences. You go for like 30 days. I did this several years ago, and then that's when I added gluten back and was like, whoa, that's been making me feel funny my whole life, you know? So dietary changes, lifestyle changes, exercise is so huge. It's hard to keep a consistent flow. Like, I'll get in these little spurts where I'll go 2 to 3 weeks and just absolutely hustle, and then I'll kind of fall off. But a daily exercise habit, 30 minutes to an hour, jogging, listening to some tunes while you jog, push-ups, sit-ups, all this stuff makes a huge difference. Get the blood circulation going. If you have kids, be the parent that jumps around on the playground and plays with the kids. Get your energy out. All this stuff makes a huge difference. You know, focusing on natural medicine, Eastern medicine, preventative medicine, not the type of medicine that's reactive and that has people pounding pharmaceuticals and pounding vaccines as well, which is something else I want to talk about when it comes to healthcare. All of these things will help reduce the chances that you come down with life-threatening diseases whenever there is a pandemic, which is a thing now. It's been a thing. It hasn't affected the states like this. You'll have a greater chance of pulling through and won't have so much fear and anxiety. And if you do perhaps catch something like coronavirus, then you have much less of a risk of dying. The mortality rate is dramatically reduced. The other thing is the healthcare system. It's all based on Western medicine. It's controlled by the pharmaceutical companies. It's controlled by the insurance companies. It's top-down, hierarchical, and we're seeing the institution of healthcare be completely strained, not only in the United States, but all across the country. So I would like to see more neighborhood doctors. I would like to see more people taking their health into their own hands and really getting in tune with their body and studying the body systems and knowing that you are what you eat, as I said before. Additionally, government plays a big role in slowing down the response that the U.S. healthcare system has been able to have here in the U.S. There are regulations, for example, that prohibit hospitals from having hospital beds and treating patients in a certain area. I just was listening to NBC News. It actually kind of blew my mind to watch an NBC News report because it's so blatantly obvious propaganda. There was even a story with a woman that was obviously reading a pre-written script, and she was talking about trying to calm everyone down from panicking to get their money out and saying that, well, while the stock market may be unsafe at this moment, the money that you have in a checking account or a bank, even if it's an online bank, is completely safe and secure because they are insured by the FDIC. So you absolutely have nothing to worry about. And while some people are going to get their money out of the banks, it's definitely not something that's necessary and that you shouldn't do. And then the anchor goes back to like, well, that's great news. Thanks for helping to calm our fears. It's just so blatantly obvious. But another thing that they said, I digress, on this NBC News piece was that government regulations are being lifted so doctors can practice in neighboring states. There's this whole control grid that's in place, and it's not in place for the benefit of the little guy, for the benefit of the American public. There's a lot of progressives and people that genuinely believe in government. I don't know how you could still believe in government after all this time, but they believe that the regulations are in place to protect the consumer, to protect the little guy, when in reality, regulations are in place to protect those institutions, those companies, those banks that already have a predominant position of power and market share, and they're in place to weed out competition and to make more money for the people that are on the in club, right? And so I would like to, and then the same thing with all the tests. One of the reasons why the tests took so long to get rolled out in the United States is because there's regulations preventing them. Same thing with vaccines, love them or hate them. As a free market anarchist, if someone wants to produce a vaccine and take it, then they have every right to do so. The government's interfering and making it hard. There's been all these restrictions that have been lifted by Trump in order to make it easier for the market to just go in there and innovate and come up with a vaccine. So I'd like to see the healthcare system completely and dramatically shifted around. And like I said before, I started this off by saying we're all infinitely powerful human beings. And people may say, well, it's a huge healthcare system that's been in place and they have all these lawmakers and all these rules that are just so in stone. But we're all infinitely powerful human beings, and broadcasting a message, talking to people, creating alternative institutions, I think is perhaps the most powerful thing that we can do. And the one thing that we do definitely have control over is our own individual health. And the more people that take their health more seriously, and again, hopefully this coronavirus will be an eye-opener for people, the more people to take their health more seriously, go down a natural path, avoiding toxins, getting in tune with their body, that's going to help the healthcare system in general, because less people will have to rely on the hospital beds and go into the hospital and the reactive medicine that is allopathic and Western medicine. Another thing is, in general, on the healthcare tune, populations for decades now are becoming dependent and reliant on vaccines in order to have immunity to certain things. I know this is a controversial subject. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I do have two children, however, and they most certainly were not vaccinated, and their health is just fine. I know there's all sorts of stuff about herd immunity and immunocompromised people. I go back to what I talked about before with the natural health, avoiding the toxins and all that stuff. I think that one of the problems that we're facing is that over and over, people rely on the vaccines in order to avoid coming down with things, when in reality, if you have a healthy immune system, if you pay attention to your body, if you don't put a bunch of toxins in it, if you exercise, if you drink water, if you avoid sugar, avoid alcohol, cigarettes, avoid pesticides, then it's more likely that you'll be able to get the flu, to be able to get coronavirus and develop natural antibodies. But in mass, we have the entire public being dependent on these vaccines. I think that's very problematic, and it makes it a lot more difficult for people to weather these types of storms, these types of pandemics. I recently saw these, and it looked like it was mainstream data with the decline in polio and measles and mumps and all that stuff. And it shows the general decline. And the general decline began well before the vaccines were introduced and starting to pump through the population. A lot of that has to do with cleanliness, with doctors realizing that they need to wash their hands in between patients and all that stuff, and cleanliness in the streets and sewage, modern sewage systems, modern plumbing. That's my two cents there. Another shift that we need in the healthcare is that we all ought to focus more on developing natural immunity, natural antibodies, and not depending on external sources. Another thing that we see taking place is there's all these runs taking place at the grocery store and difficulty getting supplies for people. And this is very problematic. I saw the writing on the wall and started encouraging friends and family to go stock up on at least 2 weeks worth of groceries. And then fast forward just a week or two, and already there were runs. And I realized, like, the stock up I thought would be for something that would be further in the distant future or an in case. But in reality, looking back 3 or 4 weeks ago, we're now in the present moment, and it's like, wow, I sure am glad that I stocked up on quite a bit of food. I'm still doing grocery store runs and trying to do the delivery grocery stores here, or the curbside pickup, but people that actually go in the grocery store get first dibs. I stepped into a grocery store for the first time in a couple weeks since all this stuff started, and it was crazy, and they were out of water, they were out of toilet paper, they were out of all sorts of antibacterial soap. I'm not a big fan of antibacterial soap myself. I prefer, like, I have the spray, the colloidal silver stuff. Definitely avoid the antibacterial soap that has triclosan, which is thought to be a carcinogen. But the way that the supply chain works is completely vulnerable, and it's so top-down, centralized, especially when you rely on China for so much of your manufacturing. And yes, you know, in a general market economy, there is going to be globalization, global markets, right? Not like the top-down New World Order kind of globalization, but global markets, whenever you can relax constraints, and especially trade constraints, that's inevitable. But to be so dependent on these foreign markets and foreign manufacturing in order to fulfill and meet our daily needs and wants is definitely not a safe thing. I'm hoping that the coronavirus will have a restructuring of that. It definitely will, like, in mass. I think that, like, the U.S. government in a statist kind of way is going to encourage more manufacturing. Trump campaigned on that, right? Bringing more industry and manufacturing back home. Not a Trump fan. But I do see the benefit in that, not just for the economy, but also for times of crisis, which You know, things are vulnerable. The healthcare system is vulnerable. Individuals are vulnerable. The economy is vulnerable. The supply chain is vulnerable. So the best thing that we could do is decentralize the supply chain. Go to farmers markets. Meet your neighbors. Learn some carpentry skills. Shop, instead of shopping at Home Depot, shop with the local hardware shop. And when these types of things happen, you're going to find that you're more resilient. And again, all this stuff, if we all do our part, all the hundreds of people that are watching this video, and we all tell each other about these ideas, then we can have a restructuring. The powers that be, while that's one of my criticisms early on of Alex Jones, he's gone off the deep end, but I used to follow him back in 2002 and in the year 2000, just with the conspiracy theory, privacy, police state and stuff. But I noticed that he really started empowering his own enemy in many ways by making it appear as though they're omnipotent and omnipresent. They sure are damn pretty close to omnipresent with these damn phones here. But the Illuminati, the elites, those in positions of power that stay in positions of power regardless of who the president is, they're not omnipotent. Their systems and their control is extremely vulnerable, and it takes your consent, it takes your participation. So we do have the ability to overcome that. I don't want them to be seen as all powerful. We can shift things. We can shift things up. Let's talk about the economy. The economy is extremely vulnerable as well. And I did a video a few days ago. Man, all this stuff is happening so fast. It's absolutely nuts. But I did a video a few days ago with my analysis on how all this is going to shake out for the economy and how it's going to play out for a long time. And I noted that Trump would say how strong the economy is, and even Obama, we're in recovery, right? But all of that is all a big fraud. It's all propped up by massive amounts of debt, by deficit spending, by trillions of dollars being pumped into the economy through quantitative easing. And so, of course, there's a semblance of a strong economy if people use the stock market as an indicator, which you can't do today. Although apparently the gains from Trump's presidency have been wiped out in like 3 weeks. In reality, the economy is completely fraudulent and fragile. And when the chickens come home to roost, probably in the form of inflation or people calling on their debts, all the debt that the United States government is, it's not going to be pretty. And maybe they're able to kick the can down the road just like they did in 2008. But at the end of the day, it's extremely vulnerable and problematic. And I think that sooner than later, there probably will be a pretty massive reset, I would say, a collapse, a reset. And that's what I'm talking about, reformatting, resetting. All of these crazy times really create an opportunity for visionary thinkers, the people that think outside the box, for people that believe in change and believe in a different way of doing things to get out there on the forefront and offer viable alternatives to this BS way that so many people have been doing things that have gotten a lot of people into trouble and wars and debt and health crises. So when it comes to the economy, trade with your neighbors, trade with your friends and family, use alternative currencies. A lot of these currencies, cities have their own little currencies. That's a viable way to do things. Back in the day, me and Catherine would do silver dimes and try to encourage people at the farmer's market to accept silver dimes. Just try to build alternative networks, alternative economies, and I think that would definitely benefit us in great ways. Additionally, the stock market as an investment, yeah, people can make money on the short term, but there's so much volatility, there's so much uncertainty, there's so much fake and phony stuff. So I encourage people to invest in like real assets, like a firearm or bullets or growing food in your garden or a seed bank. Or if you're balling and you can afford to invest in real estate, that's a physical piece of structure that can last through the recessions, through if you own it especially and it doesn't get taken by the banks. And if you have people living there, an income producing piece of real estate, that's one of my latest gurus, Grant Cardone, always talks about owning income, multifamily units, income producing cash flow real estate is an incredible investment. People just got to shift things and just kind of get smart and not just go with the status quo, go with the masses, but think outside the box, look for opportunities. The economy is going to be completely changing. I'm going to do a video maybe tomorrow about how people can survive and thrive in the shelter-in economy, because it might be like this for several more months. And even after that, things are going to be shifted and changed. And you have the opportunity to, rather than be victim or be reactive or be the effect of so much that's taking place, you can be the master of your own universe, of your own reality. You can chart your own course. You can be the cause rather than the effect in your life and the lives of others if you want to get out and make a change. there's a lot of division. This is something I shared on my wall. Matthew McConaughey did this cool little video. It was like a minute. And he talked about also the opportunity that coronavirus presents us, because there's so much division in the world, especially with the United States politics, but also like nationalism and country versus country and religion versus religion. It's been going on for quite some time, but I think it's been exacerbated, especially by the division we see between the Republicans and Democrats, or the Trumpsters and the right wingers and the progressives and leftists and so on. I don't even like those terms. We're all freaking human beings, you know what I'm saying? And so there's so much division taking place. This could present an opportunity. Like, everybody's going through this, whether they're being affected by the virus itself, the panic as a result of the virus, or the economic calamities and problems that we see, losing their job. Everyone's like, man, we're all equal. We're all, I don't believe in egalitarianism, right? People have different skills and skill sets and stuff. But at the end of the day, we're all human beings living on this earth together. We're all cut from the same jib. We're all the same energy, just in a different form. And I think when people can resonate on that vibe, man, then we'll see that we have a lot more in common than we have different. And I think that's really important. And this coronavirus presents a great opportunity. It's a great humbling thing that's taken place, where everybody's just been like, boom, like punched in the face. And now we got to take stock of where we're at as individuals, as families, as communities, and as a people, as a human species. And not even just the human species, as life on Earth, right? All our little friends and critters and stuff, too. I've seen some really beautiful stuff come out of the private school that my kiddos go to. Really incredible how they're just banding together, and there's certain families that can't keep going, and there's certain families that need help in various ways, and the school and the community are just really banding together. So I'd love to see more of that, and we have the ability to... I don't want to use the word infect, but I will, to infect other people with this vibe, by stepping out and helping others and showing people that this is a way that we can live. And there's so much good feeling that comes from it, like in a self-interested way. Whenever you help people, it feels good inside, not just the inherent value of helping others, but it feels good. And it's probably good for your health, because you're definitely not going to be stressed if you go out and help people. One of the things you can do if you're feeling real stressed and anxious or scared and angry is like, go volunteer, maybe volunteer online, I guess, instead of going down to the local food bank. And that brings me to, with all the division, one of the reasons why there's so much division is because we exist in a centralized, hierarchical, coercive, top-down institution known as the nation state, or the state in general. And that's the way things have been for quite some time. And in my view, my analysis, my opinion, that has led to a lot of problems. One of those problems is whenever one regime takes power in a massive central government, they implement edicts, laws, regulations that not necessarily everyone agrees with. And when we have this left-right paradigm in the U.S., other countries have multiple parties, but it's the same phenomenon. We have one group of people taking power and forcing their views upon another group of people, and that creates a lot of problems. It creates a lack of forward movement. It creates jam-ups, which I actually prefer this day and age in government. I like it when there's jam-up, because most of the things that are getting done in government are total problematic and total tyranny. But we have an opportunity now to shake up. Everyone's like, whoa, I got punched in the face. Life's crazy. What are we going to do? Let's come in and work to replace the hierarchical top-down, rely on the government for so many things vibe with a decentralized, peer-to-peer, mutual aid-based network, system, institution. We have the Freedom Cells, of course, which is a wonderful idea that gets promoted a lot here on the Conscious Resistance Network. That's the idea that rather than relying or working within the existing infrastructure of the state or trying to change it, right? It's the idea that rather than compete within the state, we should compete with the state and create a new form of social organization that's based on mutual respect, mutual benefit, completely voluntary. And one, this could manifest itself in so many different ways. And there's different movements and different anarchist groups and left and libertarians that have different ways of doing this. But the Freedom Cell idea is essentially you get a small group of people numbering 8 to 10 that have a common interest, that have a common goal. Let's say for now it's weathering the coronavirus storm. And you bring those eight people together, 8 to 12. The reason why we picked the number 8 comes from the research of a guy named Dr. Bob Podolsky. He wrote this book about octologs. I can't even remember what it's called right now. It's on my bookshelf there. What is it called? Somebody can post it maybe. He wrote a book all about octologs. And in that book, he goes over the research that he did with this guy named John David Garcia, I think that was his name, where creativity is most likely to come forward, and groups work most effectively and efficiently when there's 8 people involved, and usually when there's a balance between men and women. And the further you get away from 8, like 12, 15, 20, the less creative and effective and efficient the group can be. The further you get away, 5, 3 people, the less effective, the less you can get done. So you get 8 people, give or take, that have the same goal. Let's say it's to store food, to come up with a bug out plan, to make sure their defenses are shored up, to make sure they can communicate with each other and have power in the event that things go down, the grid goes down. And then you get those 8 people. You work together, and you then encourage 8 more people to come together and form a group, right? And you say, hey, we've been doing this stuff. We've been working with each other. We're really encouraging each other. We're doing bulk buys of storable food. It's working out really well. We're all on the same page. We all got the same firearms with the same type of ammunition, and we're all doing bulk buys of that as well. And we're all checking in with one another, and we have the same similar bug out plans. And then you encourage another group of 8 people, like, hey, this thing's been going great. We want to encourage you to create a freedom cell as well with your group of 8. Now you have a group of 8 here, a group of 8 here. Start spreading it even more. Before you know it, you have 8 groups of 8. Or 10 groups of 10, and you form a larger institution, a larger network, and you guys work together and make sure you got each other's backs. Maybe this is regional, it doesn't have to be confined by geography, but that's essentially how the Freedom Cell works. Then once you have 10 groups of 10, you have a little cell of 100. Then there's agitation for other cells over here. You form up 10 groups of 100. You get the idea. It doesn't have to look like that. Who knows what it'll look like, right? It's all freedom and chaotic, but there's infrastructures, there's organization, there's alternative institutions, there's other ways of doing things that aren't top-down, hierarchical, coercive, control ways of doing things. And I'm hoping that everyone getting punched in the face with the coronavirus is an opportunity to rethink things. Hey, maybe pounding sodas and drinking beer all weekend with my friends and smoking cigarettes isn't the best thing I should be doing for my health. I realize that I'm kind of vulnerable and feeling a little susceptible ever since I had that heart attack because I've been just eating fried food my whole life and pounding sugar. Or, wow, I saw the report about how the Italian healthcare system got completely overwhelmed. Maybe there's a different way to do things rather than relying on the central hospital that has all the government regulations. Or, wow, I usually consider myself a Democrat progressive, but I've seen how regulation actually can get in the way. It's all about rethinking our own biases and our own like, just break outside the box. You got to break outside your own box, and you're the only one that can do it. Maybe it's not so good of an idea to rely on the grocery store for my groceries when I have a big-ass backyard behind me, or there's an empty space in the field down the road where I can go knock on my neighbor's doors and say, hey, this coronavirus shit's got me feeling kind of scared and insecure when it comes to my food. What if we work together and build a garden down the road? And, you know, why don't we all just stick together and work together? And then at the end of the day, this is a bottom-up change, right? But as I said before, we're all infinitely powerful, beautiful human beings. And if you believe in yourself and if you have a really strong idea, and I think these ideas are pretty strong, decentralized, natural health, change, try something new. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. And everyone's just tied into this political system and all this bullshit way of doing things and the vaccines and the allopathic medicine and the top down. It doesn't work. It's broken. It's busted. It sucks. Not only is it highly unethical because coercion, forcing someone to do something against their will, initiating violence and aggression is just on the surface wrong, but from a practical and utilitarian standpoint, it doesn't work. It doesn't encourage human flourishing. In fact, it does just the opposite. So, next time you're feeling down and out about coronavirus, I encourage you to think about how the coronavirus crisis pandemic presents an opportunity for not only you and your individual life to bring about change, but how you can affect change in the world by sharing ideas like this, by participating in the creation of alternative institutions, by organizing yourself, you and your friends, and doing some cool shit and talking about it. Peace and freedom. This is John Bush. I'm out. Live free now, baby.